This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super guest producer, Chandler, the Golfman Mays.
Hey.
How you doing?
Doing good.
Most importantly, folks, you are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It's one of our favorite evenings of the week when we get to hear from our fellow conspiracy realists all across the world and sometimes, arguably, beyond. We are going to get some letters from home, a thing that we've been doing lately that I quite like. We're going to learn a little bit about Diego Garcia. We're going to learn about an active, very strange recruitment conspiracy on the part of Uncle Sam. And before we do any of that, in deference to this most wonderful of seasons, we thought we'd start with a horror story.
Oh boy, did we ever think that. Gosh, this one comes from Beelzebub, which is a great name. I'm going to go with Beelzebub, but Beelzebub is good too. I think some folks pronounce it Beelzebub, I believe, right? The name for the devil, Lucifer, Scratch, the dark one.
Exactly. I think that's how this person pronounced it when they called in the voicemail systems. Beelzebub.
Beelzebub.
Alternatively, it's sometimes Beelzebub refers to Satan as a synonym, and then sometimes it's a employee of Satan, one of the 7 princes of hell.
That's right.
He's the gluttony guy.
Well, in any case, Beelzebub is a fabulous nickname for this listener who wrote into us with the subject line, "The day I may have sold my soul to the devil."
Whoa.
And I don't know if y'all have been watching The Fall of the House of Usher on Netflix.
Not yet.
But it's very good, and that is a somewhat central theme. No spoilers, but I highly recommend checking it out. I just finished it last night, and I think it's one of the best things Mike Flanagan's ever done. And
wow.
Also, if you're into Edgar Allan Poe and like this kind of weird literature, weird fiction, it ticks all the boxes. It does a really good job of weaving a lot of the stories that you might be familiar with, but presenting them in a way that's a little different than you might expect. So let's jump right into this story on how Beelzebub may have accidentally or on purpose sold their soul to the devil. Hello, STDWYTK. This is Beelzebub. Please do share my name and message on air if you so choose. I have a real-life horror story for you, a story in which I may have met the devil itself. As a guitarist, I was intrigued to learn the story of the Delta Blues guitarist Robert Johnson. Johnson was rumored to have sold his soul to the devil in exchange for musical ability. Johnson also practiced by playing in the cemetery, as it was one of the safest places for a black man to practice in the South. It has also been said that to really learn to play the blues, one must play for the dead. I took the saying to heart and began practicing in cemeteries. That is, until I discovered that the dead do not appreciate being disturbed.
Oh, man.
On one such occasion, in Jacksonville, Florida, as I began playing, I suddenly heard the noise of stone grinding on stone and the snort of a pig. Immediately, a voice said, "Leave."
What?
I hurriedly packed my guitar and took off down the path, when all at once a very loud boom reverberated throughout the cemetery, and I felt a strong gust of wind push at my back as if to kick me out. On another night, in Portland, Oregon, I sat underneath an old tree to play. Suddenly, I felt this instinctual urge that I should stand. When I turned around, I shined my flashlight at where I had been seated, and to my horror, discovered that the largest spider I have ever seen was hanging by a single thread directly over where my head had been.
Ew.
Lastly, one night, while walking in New Orleans, Louisiana, I fear that I may have met the devil. I was walking towards the crossroads at which stood Lafayette Cemetery No. 1. I was reminded of Johnson's song, Crossroads. I was singing and whistling that song as I approached when I noticed a figure in black standing at the crossroads without moving. This figure was standing there as if waiting for me to approach. Unnerved, I crossed to the other side of the road and headed towards the cemetery up on the left of the crossroads. The figure remained glued to the spot. As I drew closer, I noticed the figure was a man wearing some kind of security uniform. He watched me as I headed over to the cemetery. I thought to myself that it was strange that this lone security guard would be standing on an empty street corner so late into the night. Realizing the cemetery was locked, I considered jumping the iron fence, but the security guard was still staring at me. I settled for gazing pensively through the bars into the shadowy cemetery. Suddenly, I noticed the security guard walking closely behind me. He said to me as he passed behind me, "Nice place to meditate, isn't it?" I replied that it was and turned around, but the security guard had completely vanished. I rounded the corner of the cemetery and looked to where he might have gone, but he was nowhere in sight. I'm not sure if by evoking the spirit of Robert Johnson, I summoned the devil, and if in doing so, I inadvertently sold my soul. I can note that my ability to play the blues significantly improved after this encounter. I am a devoted follower of the show, and am forever grateful to you.
Whoa.
Whew. Those are good.
That's intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Beezle Bob. I love the way you write, man.
Agreed.
Also, yeah. I've got some good news for you. If you do believe in the human soul, typically the way it has to be sold is it's a misconception. You don't have to necessarily sign anything. A gentleman's agreement can hold. So as long as you didn't shake hands or make the declarative statement in which you agreed to barter away your soul, it may be a situation where you just got some encouragement, you know, a little attaboy. Who doesn't enjoy a good place to meditate?
Interesting that the devil would be talking about meditating, though.
Right?
I don't really think of that as being a particularly devilish pursuit.
He's a very meditative dude.
That's true.
He meditated on why humans were the new kid, right? And then reached his conclusion and set the universe in motion.
Yeah, one could argue. That's a good point.
My theory is that Beelzebub encountered a bunch of crows dressed up as a security guard. And the reason why a security guard vanished is because the crows just like
dispersed.
Common yep. problem.
Hey,
no issue with cemeteries.
That's an excellent theme from Fall of the House of Usher.
Wait, really?
Well, I mean, there's a demonic force that's sort of the main antagonist in the show and is often depicted as a raven. And also made of like steam, or can just vanish and disperse or become a raven at will.
Oh, it's Poe. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
No, it's Poe. It's Poe AF. No question about it. It's so funny. I mean, I really think that show does such a good job of weaving in a lot of modern concepts. Like the family that is the Usher family in the show is sort of a Sackler family type situation where they have done all of these horrible things knowingly. And they are sort of being punished, and or the debt is coming due on this devil's bargain they made.
Mm.
And, you know, again, I don't want to spoil anything for you. And it's impossible to spoil having just read the Poe stories. They're just going to kind of enhance your enjoyment of the show. But the tone of these stories from Beelzebub is very much in line with the vibe of this show. So I thank you. I think this is a great way to kick off this episode as we march headlong into spooky season.
For sure. What's the weirdest thing you guys have done at a cemetery?
Poop.
No.
Kidding. I would never. That would be really disrespectful. I would never do that.
Honest answer.
Doesn't have to be honest. I was just.
Let's keep it honest. So the when I was living in Guatemala, the part of it I was in, similar to places like New Orleans, a lot of the caskets, a lot of the grave sites are elevated above the ground. And I accidentally crashed a party there. It was a pretty cool party, too.
Was it a dead man's party?
There were a lot of dead people there.
Was it a monster mash type situation?
Yeah, that was that was probably one of the strangest and honestly longest nights of my life. Yeah,
but wow.
it was cool.
Right, we'll leave the rest to the imagination. I like that. What about you, Matt?
I attempted to contact my grandfather, like, he was cremated, so I don't know what the rules say about contacting the dead after, you know, depending on what happens to their body when they go. I know it probably changes depending on the
belief systems.
But, you know, it was like meditation, right? A good place to meditate. And, you know, he was physically there. So.
Well, and it does seem to be a place that's primed with the kind of energy that maybe would be conducive to such a contact.
Oh, I also got lost in a cemetery for several hours. It was very big.
Whoa.
Some of them are huge.
Like military cemetery kind of thing? Like
no, because those is, since we're audio, Matt is illustrating the reality, which is a lot of those military cemeteries have smaller tombstones. And this one was not that, but it was a wild time, especially when the GPS stops working partway through. And then, you know, it's already dark.
Yeah.
So
that's intense.
Eh. Mm-hmm. But tell us your favorite cemetery stories, folks. Tell us especially your spooky stories. We love those. Send in your own accounts. And I just want to, once again, Beelzebub, give you props. I really, really enjoy the way you write there.
Agreed. I think we can make this one a bit of a shorter one to kick us off. Let's take a quick break, hear a word from our sponsor, and then come back with several more messages from you.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ends. Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
And we're back. I remember why I recognized Beelzebub. I attempted to call Beelzebub back and left a message. So apologies to you, Beelzebub, for that. But also, thank you for writing in.
You can also just meet us at the crossroads later.
Yeah. Hey, we'll be there dressed in...
Bone Thugs and Harmony cosplay.
I'm not quite sure
kind of
what
just
that looks
talking
like,
really fast.
Yeah. Well, that's Busy Bone, for sure. Yeah, okay.
All right, so let's jump to the phone lines. We've got a message here. Guys, some of these are silly, and I'm doing it on purpose for us just to have a little fun. So here's our first message from Lunch Lady, whom I've also left a message with.
Hey, this is Lunch Lady. I just want to say I love the show. It's great. The only picture I see is of Matt. Sexy as hell. And I just appreciate that you, being a f***ing genius, Ben, your appreciation for f***ing great down south hip-hop. That's all I wanted to say, because I'm listening to some Juicy J right now, and I thought of you. That's kind of odd, kind of weird. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. But you... know your hip hop, and I like that. Smart man. Pat on the back, pat on the butt. No, you get nothing. I'm sorry. No, you're amazing too. You're an amazing father, and as a father with a daughter, I love listening to you too. Thanks, you guys. I'm sorry. I've had a couple white wine spritzer.
No apologies.
I love a good white wine spritzer.
Best white wine spritzer advertisement I've ever heard. Shout out Juicy J, fellow Tennessean. Yeah, that's so nice, man.
It just made me so happy hearing from Lunch Lady, just saying just really kind things.
That's why I call them letters from home, you know? It doesn't always have to be like a revelation, right? Or, you know, the truth about the JFK assassination. We just like hearing from you guys.
Oh, exactly. And you know what? We're going to switch it up a little bit. Let's hear one more from A-Frame, who is a constant caller on the voicemail system. A-Frame just has a tiny comment on something that happened in one of our episodes, and I am trying very hard to remember which conversation it was, and I cannot, so I need your guys' help.
You and I were talking about this off-air earlier, Matt. I don't think we can, either of us were able to remember.
I guess it's down to me.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It's a perfect good. I'm sorry, but just had to say that Ben's little joke about not needing any performance enhances to shit your pants is just about one of the funniest things I've ever heard. Like, you can just go for it, dude. Just shit your pants. Totally can. Nothing's stopping you. I believe in you. Good stuff. That's all I had to say. That my eyes are wet after that, and it was very funny. Thank you.
Well, my pants are wet after that because I just pooped my pants.
Because I'm wearing them, and I just did.
No, I don't remember that either, but that's just the kind of little nugget of wisdom that just flies through unnoticed sometimes when we're hanging out.
I was thinking about this. It's also, for many people, maybe we talked about this a little bit too, it's psychologically difficult for a lot of people to poop their pants.
Yeah, like, well, yeah. I don't know if I could do it. Just like, okay, I've decided.
You could do it.
I believe in you.
That is very, very thoughtful.
And then also, my eyes are wet is such a specific, I haven't heard that phrase before.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. I've heard like, I'm cutting onions. Mm-hmm. I've heard people say that. But yeah, man, we believe in you. You know, it's like any other responsible recreation. You just want to be conscious of your scene and setting, you know, read the room. make sure everybody's going to be cool and supportive.
I guess I just love slash hate the idea of intentionally pooping your pants. It just seems like a very nihilistic, self-defeating thing to do.
Well, you've been programmed to think that way for so long. Well,
maybe I need to open my mind.
You know, like how do astronauts use the toilet, but what if you have to go when you're on an EVA, you know, like you're out there in the suit? What if you're in a ghillie suit, as we talked about earlier this week, and you can't move for days? I'm just saying.
These are the questions that keep us up at night.
See, but yeah, if you poop your ghillie suit, though, you're going to give your position away, like, for sure,
then
right?
You got to bury the whole suit.
And you then haven't then thought you're, of then the then you're smell. Naked.
That's exactly right.
Well, write in, ghillie suit enthusiast. Let us know the secret. Also, we know private investigators, PIs, and long-haul drivers, too, who have just said, look, you can't be too proud. Sometimes you got to use that empty Gatorade bottle.
Coffee can, baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Seal it up.
Oh, astronaut story. You guys remember a while ago now, the story of that that astronaut who got obsessed with a dude. Yep. And then
wore the diapers.
Yeah, yeah, she wore the diaper to go in. She didn't. That kind of knowledge doesn't come from a vacuum.
No, it comes from the vacuum of space.
Yeah. That's where it goes.
Where right. Nobody can hear you poop your pants in space, apparently.
Guys, I think I found it. I think it was a conversation we had about steroid Olympics on Strange News.
Oh, yeah.
Something you brought to the table, Noel.
Yeah. A Strange News segment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I think it was something about that. You don't need performance-enhancing drugs to do that. All right. Well, hey, we've got one more voicemail here we're going to listen to today. And this one comes from Storm Raven.
Hey, sup, guys. You can just call me Storm Raven, and I really don't care what you do with this. But I was actually lucky enough to visit Diego Garcia. We had moved some B-52s there because we were bombing Iraq at the time. And it seems like we're always bombing someone or threatening to bomb someone, you know, Yemen. But anywho, Diego Garcia is actually long. It's got a runway that's barely long enough to launch and land heavy bombers, but I do mean barely. You miss the runway and you're in the ocean. It's just that simple. But the island is about half wild. It's about half wild, and it roughly follows the outline of a footprint. It's weird, but the middle blue lagoon. It is a beautiful blue lagoon. But that lagoon is also home to several merchant marine vessels, which are jam-packed with war supplies, ready to sail anywhere on a moment's notice, wherever the U.S. wants to pick a fight. But remember how I said the island's like half wild? That's because that half is even restricted from those who are stationed on the island. Now, I don't know why it's restricted, but I've got a good hunch, and that hunch is probably sensitive to some countries' reasons, so we'll just leave it at that. But it's a shame people can't see it, because I do mean that lagoon is absolutely beautiful. So, but you guys take care of yourself and keep doing what you're doing. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
Just thought that was a great message from somebody who has experience in that place that we just, you know, we began talking about a little bit, and I think we were all really interested in it. And I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, God save the king, right? Because this is a, depending on who you ask, this is a territory of the United Kingdom. And I'm picking up what you're putting down there, Storms. This is sensitive. But again, like we said, you know, they do have beautiful wildlife from what we hear. We've talked to other people who have had the distinct pleasure, you could say, of visiting Diego Garcia. And there's something, it makes me think of the merchant marines. Do you guys know much about them?
Not much. Mm. Not as much as I wish I did.
Do you know who runs them?
No.
I shit you not, the Department of Transportation.
Wow. So it is a military, though, right?
Mm-mm. It's not a government agency. It's not a military service. It's DOT.
It's made of civilians, no. Right? It's sort of like the Coast Guard, that it's like volunteer, I guess.
But like weapons ready, right?
They,
you can go to the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy. They do carry supplies. I'm sure they have to have security when they go. Like, we're not, none of us have been members of the Merchant Marines, obviously. But I didn't know the DOT even had a maritime administration.
That's so nuts. But I guess it makes sense because let's just refresh people where this is.
Sure.
Right? It's
yes.
Very south end of the Maldives.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh, I don't know if I'll be able to even describe it.
Yeah, it's right out, like if you started India, the tip of India, mm-hmm. with a little comma that is Sri Lanka, and then go down and slightly to the left, and you'll be sort of in the mid-northwest of the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, it's almost smack dab in the middle of all of the land that mm-hmm. surrounds the Indian Ocean there. So that's a great strategic position. Even if you're DOT, right? But you need to deploy a ship really quickly.
I'm just saying, pull up a map, look at the Persian Gulf, look at Djibouti, the Red Sea, Gulf of Aden, and Yemen. As you said, that is another incredibly important point. I'm really glad that got brought up because a lot of those things, a lot of the U.S. activities abroad are not classified, but they're just not as widely reported. And administrations might change, but that doesn't mean the bombs stop dropping.
For sure. Just to end on a light note here, guys, I really enjoyed the phrasing of Storm Raven in a lot of places in that voicemail. The first one is the concept that the island is half wild, because it made me feel like some kind of MTV Spring Break promo. Like, man, this island is half wild.
Wilding out. Fully. Only half.
Lagoons go wild.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's this Blue Lagoon is so filled with merchant marine vessels.
So filled for you.
And also just that phrasing that you picked up on, Ben, sensitive to some countries' reasons.
Yeah. There's a nature reserve there too. Like a lot of islands that are territories with a primarily military interest, a lot of those places have amazing wildlife, you know, assuming they're not the site of nuclear tests, but even then, life endures. It's amazing. It reminds me of, oh, I gotta do it. I have to do the shout out. I probably shouldn't because it gets harder to find this book every time that we mention it on air. But one of my very favorite books, which you might enjoy as well, Storm Raven, is called Atlas of Remote Islands by Judith Shalansky. If you can get the hardback copy, it's amazing. It's somewhere between an anthology, somewhere between an atlas. Of course, Diego Garcia makes an appearance, but perhaps not in the way you would imagine. So do check it out. And, you know, if you have had the fortune to travel to places like this, let us know, because a lot of people in the United States, it's weird, I can't remember who I was talking with about this, but a lot of people in the United States simply will not have the opportunity to travel because it can be so prohibitively expensive unless you join the military, right? So we want to hear your stories about places you think your fellow conspiracy realist should know more about, because there's a lot out there.
Well, if you go to the website for the Merchant Marines Institute that you were mentioning, the first selling point is, want to see the world?
Yeah.
Join the Merchant Marines.
Right. Oh, boy. Yeah, see the world. Probably some asterisks they need there.
Some specific parts of the world, yeah.
I just want to visit the United Seamen's Service Center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Well, it's a club.
They don't say what kind of service.
I just meant whatever I meant by my tone.
Okay. I get it. All right. Well, with that, we're going to hear a word from our sponsor. Thank you so much to everybody who called in over the past month. We're caught up to October, guys. Woo! We did it! We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
We've returned. Semen, like sperm. Guys, get it? Like, we're going to walk you through, in case anybody missed it.
I was talking about, like, the term for people who are on the sea.
We knew what you meant, man.
Okay. We knew what you meant.
Okay.
We just refused to acknowledge it.
Okay.
So this is one of our final pieces. We got an email that was very interesting from our pal Brock, fellow conspiracy realist. If you've heard the show, if you've heard any of our strange news or listener mail segments, then you have heard Brock. Brock hipped us to something that I was very much not aware of, and I'm surprised. This is why we love hearing from you folks. So we know TikTok's a big thing, right? We know that the U.S. military is a big thing. To your point, Storm Raven, and many other folks writing into us. We also know if you look at the numbers year over year, we know that for quite some time, the U.S. Armed Services have been struggling to meet their recruitment quotas. As more and more people become, I would say, disillusioned with the Army or cynical about joining and about what that greater purpose might be, then we see that fewer and fewer people are going into a recruitment office or signing up. So how do you change that? Well, according to some interesting research we read, as well as a great little piece from Upper Echelon on YouTube, we have learned that the PSYOP wing of the armed services, the U.S. Army in particular, may have taken to TikTok and leveraged/weaponized e-girls. Now, before we continue, for anybody not in the know, how would you describe an e-girl?
Yeah, I remember this from years ago from my kid who told me what an e-girl was. And I just remember they're kind of gothy internet, like perpetually online. Are they the ones that have the certain water bottles or is that VSCO girls?
I think that's VSCO.
Yeah, that's that one. But then there was like the hydro flasks. What is e-girls? I'm getting confused.
Isn't there a sexual or sexuality component?
Similar to some mukbang videos. The idea, it could be a Twitch streamer. It's now increasingly someone on TikTok. And the idea is like you're a cutesy. There are all sorts of specializations, but ultimately, at least critics would say, the idea is that you can encourage a parasocial relationship as an e-girl to get people to donate money to you, to share your interest, watching you play a video game, for instance, watching you do unpacking, unboxing videos, etc.
I was right about the goth element. They're a subcategory of them. Mall goths,
Or like waifu kind of ideas. So this genre of influencer and performer is enormously successful. And a lot of these people can make a quite a lucrative living here.
So in STEPO programs designed to recruit young gamers through video games like Call of Duty, which we mentioned earlier, there's this allegation that Uncle Sam has weaponized some of these so-called e-girls. One great article we found about this, in addition to the YouTube video we mentioned earlier, is from Dazed Digital. This is by Gunsili Yalsinkaya, and the title of it is How E-Girl Influencers Are Trying to Get Gen Z Into the Military. And they spend some time on someone named Heilujan, who has 363,000 TikTok followers as of earlier this year. And at the time, this person's 20 years old, classic e-girl thing, posting what are called thirst traps, right? But these thirst traps take place inside choppers or holding assault rifles, holding military gear,
wow.
Hashtags like pew pew and military curves. There will also be her playing with remote control tanks and drones.
Oh my God. These are like strategically created hashtags by somebody working in like social media marketing for the government.
Well, it sounds like Guns and Ammo, the pages of like magazines back in the day.
Guns and Ammo After Dark.
Yeah, well, right? I mean, they would have like some of the ads, not the actual articles in like, Guns and Ammo, but the ads often have that very
thing. Bikini-clad women sporting assault rifles.
Sure. Yeah. A little Soldier of Fortune to it as well, not counting the classified advertisements in Soldier of Fortune. But that time has passed. This person who is sometimes called the PSYOP girl, no fooling, is a self-described psychological operations specialist in the U.S. Army, and people have started been speculating for a long time now, that her role in the Army is entirely to entice Gen Z people, largely male, we would assume, to sign up for the Army or the armed services, some branch of it, in hopes of meeting the one. Because what do you think of when you think of the Army? Romance, right? Totally. Number one guess. Well, Family Feud.
Every e-girl needs an e-boy or whatever. No, that's not. It's much more complex and fluid than that. But so she claims to be a PSYOPs expert, but it turns out that she actually is the PSYOPs.
She claims to be employed by the U.S. Army, and people are increasingly believing that. There's also stuff like Bailey Crespo, Kayla Salinas, and then a hashtag MilTok, MILTOK, military TikTok. And the more I thought about this, this is mentioned in several articles as well. I think of folks like, remember Bella Porch? She came out with she's a influencer who came out with a song that went viral, which was Build a Bitch. Thanks for beeping me there.
I don't think I know this one.
Is this a Build a Bear play on words?
Okay. Yeah. It has to be.
It's about how you as a woman should not have to conform to romantic or sexual expectations.
Cool.
Yeah.
Down with
overall, it's a message I think anybody can support. However, she served in the U.S. Navy for 4 years before she went viral on TikTok, which to people playing the conspiracy board red string game, they think that this may have been a precedent or a blueprint that set forward this idea of let's get to young potential future armed forces members through the power of sex appeal. Right? And through video games.
You know, it's funny because it seems like Uncle Sam has been sort of late to the party with that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And that oftentimes their attempts at like making the military seem cool have fallen quite flat. So I guess they just finally maybe got some younger folks on their marketing team that were like, you know what we ought to do is this. But also TikTok is kind of notoriously an enemy of information security, you know, right?
That's what's interesting to me as well. And I think that's a good point because TikTok is an app that is compromised by the Chinese government, pretty openly, right? I don't think anybody at this point is going to say that's not the case unless they work for the government of China. But you see other countries doing this too. Israel has done this with things like the gun waifu, an influencer, an IDF soldier. This is from the article, who, well, here's the thing. I think at that point, our author on Days Digital might have a particular stance in the race. The most important part to know is that, to your point, other countries are doing this. A lot of times, propaganda, if it works in one situation, other organizations will attempt to emulate it as quickly as possible, creating a feedback loop, right? Which eventually creates a diminishing return, which is why people move on to new psyops. So there's a question here, which is, are we, when people agree to this or when they allow this here, is this lying to children? Is this like, are we selling them a bill of goods? Like, if someone, when you join the army, right? When you join the armed forces, even if you don't meet your fantasy online girlfriend, you still have to stay in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it's a crime if you just leave, if you abandon your post. I think it's called going AWOL or something, and it's punishable.
I think even if you had the mental fortitude to purposely shit your pants every day, they would keep you, unless you were that guy on that plane from a few weeks back.
They'd figure out something for you to do.
They figure out something. Well, he'll clean the latrines. I mean, he's there all the time anyway.
It just puts you in a C-130 and they make a little hole so you can just drop bombs on the enemy.
But so my question then, building off this great point you make, Brock, it does seem there's something to it, but we don't know whether it's some widespread systemic nefarious thing, or if it's just a couple of forays into something that's working. You know, so my question is this dangerous?
What feels dangerous to me? The fact that there is a real thing called army psyops.
Oh, come on. That's old beans.
No, but think about that. Psyops is the kind of, it's a sci-fi feeling thing, right? Psychological operations, but it's real. It's a real thing within all of the branches of military.
Well, we've been doing it for ages. I mean, we talked about this recently. I think I forget the Ghost Army tapes or whatever, like in Vietnam, where they would play the sounds of ghosts of like the Viet Cong's like ancestors that would supposedly get them to potentially retreat. They'd hang like speakers in the trees and stuff.
Aswang, or mutilating a corpse to look like it was an Aswang attack in the Philippines.
Exactly. But when psyops are involved at all, how do you know what is a part of the psyops psyop and what is not part of the psyops psyop?
Well, that's like not for us to know.
You shared a link for a training about a training video that they put out to try and encourage people to join their thing.
Yeah.
And it sounds insane, Ben.
Well, it's like when I can't remember which intelligence agency it was, maybe out in the United Kingdom, they put out a billboard with some riddles to solve. That was like the application/challenge.
Cicada?
Well, I mean, it's not that different than, I guess, the CIA now allowing people to not have to take a drug test in order to be a hacker for them, you know, because it's just part of the culture. You know, people don't want to work for the government if they can't smoke their weed or whatever, you know, and it's the same thing where they're trying to meet people, young people, not to sound like a granddad, where they are. Is it any more dishonest than those videos we were talking about in the previous episode with the, you know, Call of Duty kind of action sort of like thing, people rising from the swamps and, you know, it looks like just, wow, you want to be a hero. I mean, it's all Michael Bay type stuff. That's not honest. We know that's not what it's like.
I'm glad you said that. Yeah. Let's point out our earlier episode. Look, regardless of whether or not you support this way of gaining the interest of young people who may not fully realize the repercussions of their decisions, you should check out our episode on the U.S. military and how it interacts with the entertainment industry in the in domestically and a little bit abroad, still mainly in the Anglosphere, but the long and short of it is the armed services will give you a heck of a deal on having
U.S. military appear in your films and your TV shows, so long as you make them look good in the process.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great. You know what I mean? I think any organization that had the money to do that would do so. So it's not, it's just PR. But those PSYOP groups are, the PSYOP battalions in specific, they are real. And when you see a video game company or a movie studio wanting to use the military legally in media, then they're going to talk with those guys, the propagandists.
Don't they let them use like helicopters and stuff? Or they are like supervised? They obviously, they're not just letting people fly their helicopters, but it's stuff that would be very expensive to right. either create or to CGI. It is a good deal for the movie industry if they can play nice.
So long as they look good.
What was the thing? Somebody recently, and I apologize, I can't remember who it was. They were talking about the Top Gun Maverick movie and how the enemy is never defined. It's like an unknown enemy, and there were people online attempting to figure out who the actual ideological enemy of them, of the American forces was.
Isn't the point, though, that it doesn't matter, that it's just like leaving it up to the imagination and it makes it a little more universally applicable or enjoyable?
Yeah, I think so, but I imagine that's one of the reasons that they're able to actually get access to a lot of the planes and feature actual military toys.
Look, the idea is, the lesson for those kind of films, especially when they're shown abroad, is anyone can get it.
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, do you really want to find out why we don't have free healthcare?
It's because of these these F-35s.
I know that sounds cynical, but that being that alone, that cynicism does not mean that is untrue. But also, just to be very fair, you know, the U.S. Armed Forces are one of the great guarantors of international trade, right? Especially we look at this huge infrastructure across these massive oceans, counting Diego Garcia as well. The force projection of the United States enables global commerce to exist, and it's really hard to argue against that. And I don't necessary, you know, there are all kinds of criticisms. We'd love to hear your stories on this one, folks. There are all kinds of criticisms of the at times misleading tactics that recruitment offices have given, have spun
for ages.
Yeah, for ages. And, you know, they themselves, if we have anybody who's worked in recruitment listening tonight, you know that you yourself may have been subjected to some pretty crazy quotas that are very difficult to meet at times. So, there is that problem there to maintain that recruitment, but then there's also the question of what is ethical. You know, I feel, God, there are so many stereotypes about young folks, I don't want to say kids, who join the military, instantly get married to their high school sweetheart, buy a Mustang at 20-something% interest, and then fast forward 2 years and they're in deep water. And those stereotypes exist because there is some sand to them. I just hate the idea of a kid signing up for something that will affect them potentially for the rest of their lives or potentially end their life just because they saw some TikTok videos. That doesn't seem right.
Well, and this seems like kind of small potatoes compared to the ethical quandaries posed by military
war machines
in general, right? Yeah. But like a lot of these kind of uwu type videos, these e-girl type videos are about sexualizing young people, you know,
like
in a very potentially icky way. But it's also about empowerment sometimes too. So it's a confusing ball of wax. But when the government kind of weaponizes it and is trying to target it, then they're capitalizing on something that is in the wrong hands, quite, you know, problematic.
And we want, this is where we want your help. If you have worked in recruitment, if you've worked in the armed forces, if you haven't, it doesn't matter. We want to hear your opinions on the ethics, on the nature of this conspiracy, whether it's overblown, whether there's sand to it. I would love it if you visit armytimes.com. Check out a article that says foreboding Army PSYOPs recruitment video shows who's pulling the strings. This was written in May of last year by Rachel Nostrand. And with that, like, we cannot wait to hear from you on this. With that, folks, we bid you an adieu and a happy almost Halloween. Shout out to Brock. Shout out to Lunch Lady. Shout out to Storm Raven, A-Frame, and of course, Beezle Bob. One final note on a bit of a personal level. A dear friend of mine and of the show has passed away unexpectedly. Canadian Dean, there are many people listening to the show who know you and remember you. And there's never a right way to say it, but just wanted to give our thoughts to your family and loved ones. And with that, we can't wait to hear from you folks.
That's right. You can find us all over the internet where we exist, the handle Conspiracy Stuff on X, FKA Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Conspiracy Stuff Show is what we are on Instagram and TikTok.
Hey, do you have a phone and do you like to use that phone to call people? Well, call us. Our number is 1-833-STDWYTK. I hope you caught all that. Just the way A-Frame, Lunch Lady, Storm Raven, and Beezlebob did. By the way, Beezlebob, this is just for you. 22. You get it. All right. When you call in, you've got 3 minutes. Say whatever you'd like. Please give yourself a cool nickname and let us know if we can use that name and your message on one of our listener mail episodes. If you've got more to say, like links, pictures, videos, anything like that, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are.
Folks, who read every email we get to conspiracy@iheartradio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.